Blog Talk Radio.
I gotta turn it back on. That's why we're gonna hear it. Okay. Peace and blessings.
Peace and blessings, sir.
Yes, ma'am.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. This is BVM Global Kingdom. The views and opinions expressed on BVM Global Kingdom Podcast Radio Network are solely those of host, guests, and callers. These views and opinions do not represent those of BVM Global Kingdom Podcast Radio Network, its management, board, host, marketeers, and or advertisers. Once again, thank you for listening to BVM Global Kingdom Podcast Radio Network.
This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made.
That the Lord has made, I will rejoice.
I will rejoice.
And be glad in it.
And be glad in it.
This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made.
Peace and greeting. Shabbat Shalom. Happy seventh day. For this is the day that the Lord has made. We give honor to the Most High God for allowing us to be in his midst and for him allowing us to be on his wake-up list.
Well,
another time, another day. Most High God, we just thank you for this Shabbat and for this time and for this feast. Lord, we thank you for your glory and your mercy. We give thanks to all those who are listening here in the United States of America and those listening in the different continents. But most of all, we thank each and every one of you. And I want to greet each and every one of you with Namaste, Shalom, Assalamu Alaikum, and may the peace and the love of the Messiah Christ be with you. It's been a glorious time. It's been a glorious day today.
And it ain't over.
And I am just so happy that the Almighty, for what he has done throughout the week, keeping us from no hurt, harm, or danger, and allowing us to come together and to gather, to give him this time, to set aside all the things that we could be doing, to give him this time and space. Well, he said in his word in Ezekiel 20 and 12, "But the Sabbath day is a sign between me and thee, we know that we belong to him." This is another broadcast coming from BVM Global Kingdom, and I am the host speaker today, and senior pastor of the BBM Global Kingdom, the Elder George Reedy. Before we go into today's topic and lesson, or our precepts of our scripture, we're going to have prayer coming from our very own woman of God, the chaplain, Valerie. Peace and blessings to you, chaplain.
Peace and blessings, Pastor George. Peace and blessings, Elder Maurice, ministers on the line, and those who are listening to my foggy voice. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you today. We thank you because you told us that this is the day that the Lord has made, and we are going to rejoice and be glad in it. But in your word, you told us oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. So as we come together today on this podcast, on BBM Global Kingdom, bless Pastor George and his family. Bless Apostle Maurice and his family. And we send out special prayers to his grandson, Caleb. And we send out blessings and prayers to cousin Obadiah, who's in the hospital recovering from a brain tumor. So Lord, we ask for healing for Caleb, Obadiah, Pastor George, Apostle Maurice and Chaplain Valerie, the minister of Grister family. Lord, you know what all of us need, and we just ask for those. But we also magnify your name, and we thank you for your son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank him for leaving us the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, the Comforter. In your Son's name, the Christ, Yeshua, the one who heals. Hallelujah and amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that prayer, chaplain, that's going up. You know, before we get started, I'm going to ask that you read Psalms 1, 1 through 6. And Proverbs 3, 1 through 7. Then we'll get into today's topic and coming from Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter.
All right. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law do he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he do shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drive away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord know the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. That was Psalm 1, verses 1 through 6.
Mm-hmm.
Proverbs 3. I'll be reading Proverbs 3, verses 1 through 7 in the King James Version. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Hallelujah. God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God.
Amen. We thank you for those scriptures there. And those are like scriptures that, before we get started, just break down the atmosphere of us going through this whole week.
Checking in.
And just reminding ourselves about how great the Most High is. And one of the things that he says in his word, he says, you know, in both of those scriptures there, that we have to be like trees planted in the foundation in the word of the Most High God. And he also speaks about us not forgetting his word or his law. That when we do these things, and as we see, as we go through the scriptures today, as we go through the outlines of what the Most High God, and with him giving his instructions of his law, statutes, and his judgments, and we will see that he's very specific on what we are to do, how we are to do, and what we are to stay from. And as we read this scripture in this Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter, it reminds me of everyday life, of what I see a lot of folks experiencing right now in this 2023. And it just amazes me how it's nothing different from the time that the Almighty was dealing with the children of Israel, in which we know the children of Israel are here in this land right now, the tribe of Judah, the Negro, is here in this America right now, and how us being the offspring, and we also know that other tribes are here too. It's a mixed multitude of different tribes. And all are here or touched in this land of this America and throughout the four corners of the earth. But the instruction that the Most High God gave us into our ancestors, and how he said that if we were to go against this here law, statutes, and judgments, what would happen to us as a people. And he's specific on how we were going to be scattered on the four corners of the earth and how we're going to go through the same type of situation as a punishment, being put on the bottom, being oppressed.
Please stay tuned for a brief station identification.
Amen. We thank you for the temporary station identification. You know, but the wonderful thing about the Most High God and how he is, you know, in us getting the foundational piece. And it was just his prior instruction for us so that we can live. And a lot of times, and I've spoken with a lot of people and interacted with them, and a lot of folks in the now, and I'm speaking in general in the 23, a lot of folks really kind of like strayed away from the Most High because there's so many different variables of, I guess, belief systems and religious practices that's out here. But the key thing of it, the Almighty meets you wherever you're at.
Uh-huh.
because it was a time where in my life that I really didn't have a relationship with him, and I really didn't study his word, and I really didn't know nothing much about him, and I really didn't practice these law statutes and these judgments that's written in the word. And I can truly say that from where I came from, you know, I came from the ungodly part, and it's a process, and I was a sinner. And I don't like to get on this here thing, and when I speak about the Most High and his word and his law statutes and judgments, I don't want no one to get the impression that I have a pious attitude, because all of a sudden I do this now, because it was a point in my life I didn't do it and I didn't follow it. I was a heathen too. I was a sinner. And I did a lot of things contrary to the word of God. And he has brought me from a very long way. But I'm telling you, and I'm just a living witness, that I had to learn these law statutes and judgments, and I had to practice them. And it took me some time. It was a process. And even with the commandments and all that there. But I'll tell you this. When I started to understand, and when I started to follow, and I started to practice them, that's when my life began, and I started to live. Because prior to me applying them to my life, I was on a spiral going down to death. I was going to die. And because of these scriptures, because of these commandments, because of this word of God, it brought life back to me again in my life again. Now, I'm not saying that because I started following his law statutes and judgments and I established a relationship with him, but he opened up my mind and my heart and gave me greater wisdom of what's going on and let my eyes see how I was living contrary to him and his word, what's written, and how I was entangled into this worldliness and this ungodliness, into this pagan and idol worship, and how I separated myself from this, and by him giving me a new sight and understanding to see the difference in the world between his world of living righteously and living holy. And it gave me strength. And it gave me pride, and it gave me endurance, and it gave me a new life where some things that some people are in bondage in right now. And you know the different bondages that people are in. And this bondages is a lot of things. Times people, they blame Satan, but a lot of times it's not Satan that puts people in bondage. Sometimes it's themselves, because we know that the bondage of what I'm speaking about, of alcohol or cigarettes or the bondage of drugs or even molestation or even human trafficking, abuse, spousal abuse, children abuse, you know, people not trying, can't identify who they really are, you know, if they want to be a male or female. And we know that situation with that, what the word of God says about that and those acts, it's an abomination. A lot of folks don't talk about it, but it's written in the word. I didn't write it. It was just something that was written in the word. A moral conduct, a moral code, a way of life, you know. The commandment separates us from being barbarians and liars and thieves, killers, murderers, adulterers, fornicators. I mean, and it establishes a moral code of conduct with us, of having unity in the family and loving our children and teaching our children, our children's children, about the laws of the Most High. And this law and this conduct and this moral code will give them life. And it will take them away from a sinful nature. And it gives them instruction. It gives them guidance. and it gives us guidance, you know, and it teaches you how to honor your mother and father, which is an important piece. And we see right now that a lot of children are being misled, and a lot of conflict is happening with different families in regards to honoring the mother and father. And a lot of mother and fathers don't have control of their children. The children are controlling them, and they're out there, and it's something that we have to get straight. But also this word and this life that it gives us. And the Almighty and the Most High God is just instructing us that he is the true and living God. And then a lot of times we make mistakes in going through our lives, and he says this in his word about us following other nations and following after their deities and their gods, not to do it. Because as he said plainly, if you do it, what's going to happen? And he goes through in his word and his law, statutes, and judgments, the chastisement of what he says, of what's going to happen if we don't follow it. And this is just the beginning part of his law, statutes, and judgments. And it's going to get better as we get more into his word. But we're going to start right now, just reading from Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter, starting at verse 1.
Which version?
King James.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, mm-hmm. unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers give you.
Yes. Stop right here. Now, this is like this prior instruction. And most of I was just saying plainly, look, you follow these law, statutes, and judgments. And even though the children of Israel were in another land, this still applies even where you're at right now. You want to take possession of this land, this America where you're at right now, you want to gain something, you follow these law, statutes, and judgments. And I'll show you the blessing you're going to receive. We're going to go over all that. He's going to show you how you're going to be separate from every nation on this earth. But you have to be obedient to his word. Continue reading. Read.
Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor, for all the men that followed Baal Peor, the Lord thy God has destroyed them from among you.
Stop. If those of you that want to know who Baal or Baal Peor, and before we get to that part, explain what that is. The word of God says for you not to add or subtract. We see that in a lot of religious beliefs, they like to add different words. They like to add different inputs or their interpretation of stuff that is not written in the word. And then that's when a lot of people fall into that category, and then they get caught up in some things that's not the word of God. But this Baal Peor was a demigod, a deity, that was in the time that the children of Israel were going through or past that wilderness. And it was past the land of the Moabites. Mm-hmm. The Moabites, that was their deity, Baal. And a lot of the Israelites, when God did his miracles, again, we spoke a couple of weeks about the children of unbelief. When God did his miracles, they followed this demigod, and they bowed down to it. And the Most High God destroyed all of them. You know, back at this time, like I said, during the early pre-church, the Most High God didn't play. When he was giving the instruction, he was very clear. And even today, we gravitate and we never navigate to these demigods or these different gods here on this earth, especially here in this America, which was given to us. There is only one God. There's always only been one God. We know that the beginning of time, when the time that Israel was coming out of Egypt, and even when they were going through the wilderness, we know there was a lot of polytheism godheads that were going on, and there were gods made out of everything. And that disturbed God. He didn't want that. That was one of the reasons why he pulled us out in the way and delivered us out of Egypt, for one. And as we were going through to get to this promised land or to the land that he wanted us to go to, we were interacting with different nations that had all these other gods. And he was very plain in his law, statutes, and judgments. And it was to stay away from these demigods or all these other gods, because he's a jealous God. Continue on with scripture. You stop there. Reverse.
Verse 4.
Read.
But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, this day.
Yes.
Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, and even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it.
Mm-hmm.
Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people.
Mm-hmm.
For what nation is there so great? Who have God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for?
Yeah.
And what nation is so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day?
Yes.
Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen.
See?
And lest they depart from the heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons.
Wait a second. Stop right there. So you're telling me, child, that even these law statutes and these judgments that God has revealed to us and given to us, these commandments that he's given to us, we're supposed to teach them to our children and our sons' sons' sons?
Yeah. The legacy.
It's a continuous thing that we're supposed to be teaching them.
The legacy, yep.
Are we teaching our children these things? Are we teaching them the difference between right and wrong,
some
holy
of us,
and unholy, righteous and
some
unrighteous?
Some of us are, yes. Some of
the
us
law,
are.
The law, statutes, and judgments.
Yep, some of us are.
Okay. So where are we failing at to these children that's out here murdering and killing people with
mm-hmm.
innocent blood?
Okay.
Are they following the law, statutes, and judgments? Do they know that thou should not kill?
We got to get their parents to. I mean, I'm not the only one that can give you what I'm thinking. There's other folks on the line, Pastor.
Okay. All right.
And I will just say that we have to teach these parents.
Okay.
As well.
All right. Well, that's what I mean. That's all. Our work, our mission,
mm-hmm.
to teach them.
Mm-hmm.
But then this is another thing too, and this is something that I've come up against when you're dealing with an adult. Most adults don't want to be taught anything, and they have already been taught. And then if they've been taught the wrong thing or the wrong message and not the truth, and then you speak and say, well, thus saith the Lord, then there is a conflict. And then you say, well, wait a second. You know, let's go over the scriptures and see what the scriptures say.
Uh-huh.
But most adults, as they say, they don't like to do any reading, or they don't like to do any research, or they don't want to. It's like it's irritable to them because they want everything easy.
Well,
and they don't want to put the time or the work in to study or to show themselves approved, to divinely separate themselves from what's truth and what's not truth.
Well, we have calls on the line. You want to get an opinion?
Well, hold on. No, let's read a little bit more. And then we'll open up the mic. Well, we can open up the mic, sure.
Okay.
And we're not done with the scripture because there's a lot more on this Deuteronomy 4. But the question is, though, now we hear about the blessing that comes from the Almighty and what he said he's going to do. All right? If we do these things, that not only we will have life, but then he will be that battering ram for us and do all these things, these miracles for us. And I think a lot of folks think that just because, I guess, if they say Christ, Messiah, or Jesus, that they automatically going to get all these things and these blessings and these promises of God, but still living in sin. And I want to know, what can we do? How do we attract the effect, as the chaplain says, and we need to teach the parents so that they'll know, so they can teach the children. And my question was, how do you teach an adult that don't want to hear it or don't want to hear what you got to say or thus saith the Lord? So what do you do to penetrate that or to try to reach that person? And you're doing the will of the Most High God.
That's right.
So open up the mic.
Okay.
What are we going to start with first?
Mic's open. Mm-hmm. Apostle, you are actually a co-host for today. How are you, sir?
Praise the Lord. I'm good, Chaplain Valerie. Pastor George, I'm well, thank you. That's an interesting surprise here.
Oh yeah.
That's an interesting surprise.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
And instruct me as you need.
Okay.
I'm at your service.
All right, sir. we put forth that question, Apostle, and then the chaplain, she added something too, because I've come up against this too when talking to, like she says, well, what we can do so that a lot of our children or folks falling into this line are not having a relationship with the Most High. And when you go to the Word, and we give them instruction from the law, statutes, and judgments, and we try to teach and show them, but yet they don't want to receive it. How do you deal with the penetration, or do you just shake it off, the dust, and keep it moving? Or what do? When they don't want to hear it, because they need to teach the children. Thus saith the Lord.
Amen. That's a good question and a very relevant one. And I'm sure everyone has someone in mind when they think about people that need something but don't want to hear something. Okay. So I always remember an ancient saying, and it is very relevant to this day. When the student is ready, the teacher will appear.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Student,
right.
Wait, say that again.
When the student is ready, the teacher will appear.
Yes.
In other words, until people are ready, we have to understand that not even God mess with them.
Mm-hmm.
If there is an appointed time, even for people getting a word when they need to do, this is where testimony comes in, when people say, I used to, for 25 years, I used to, for 15 years, I used to, for 10 years, then God. And people were trying to tell me, but I wasn't ready to hear. You see, it's so many people that are ready to hear right now that we can't get caught up on those who are not. We have to understand that this is their life journey.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe God will reveal it to them. Maybe not. We keep them in prayer, but we continue the work that is before us. You know, we don't get caught up in the sauce, you know. And in other words, you don't wake up a sleeping dog because they'll bite you. You don't go to a dog that's sleeping and wake it up. It will bite you. And the same thing is with people. When people are not ready to receive, ready to learn, mm-hmm. they're not in the mind, you're wasting time because everything you say is like, it's like pouring water in the ocean thinking you're making an impact. No, you're not. It's a waste. And it may sound, you know, contrary to, oh, I got to go out here like Jesus. You got to remember, Jesus even spoke in parables. And he said it so that those hearing will not perceive. So this ain't for everybody. Mm-mm. And that's what we have to understand. This is not for everybody. Wisdom is not for everybody. Even mm-hmm. right conduct is not for everybody. The police officer got to chase somebody. You know?
Yeah.
They got a job and they got to chase somebody. The lawyer mm-hmm. has to defend somebody.
Yes.
The judge has to judge somebody. And it's always going to be somebody for them to do that.
Right.
You know, and unfortunately or fortunately, this is the reality of the world. Amen.
Yeah.
This is the reality.
So, So,
gentlemen, I would like to interject something.
Go ahead.
Revelation 22, verse 17. I'm going to read it in King James and also New Living Translation. Revelation 22, 17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that hear say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Now that's King James. And New Living says, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let anyone who hears this say, come. Let anyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who desires drink freely from the water of life. So whosoever will, let them come. And it's been, and Apostle said, and I've heard Pastor George say, those who want to come and receive the word of the Lord, they will come, but they have to make that choice. That's what uh-huh. separates us from the animals. We don't act instinctively. We can make a decision. So we
right.
have to make that decision to come to the presence of the Lord.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And we also have to be able to drop that seed that makes someone say, everyone may not say, let me investigate this. But we have to make that seed appetizing enough or that water pure enough or purified enough where people want to drink it.
Amen. You know, that same scripture that you're talking about, and this reminds me of something else too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's in the book of Isaiah when it says, come and drink
mm-hmm.
without no money,
mm-hmm.
without no price. You know, and this word of God is something you can drink, and you can drink it, and it'll give you life. But then also, I just want to put this here out there to the apostle. When I understand what you're saying about when it's time for the teacher to come, but then I hear a lot of folks complaining all the time of why they're going through the situations what they're dealing with. Why I can't get this? Why am I going through this situation? Why is this happening to me? And then I say, well, is your life or are you doing the things that the Most High say in his word, or is it lining up together? Have you tried him? And then this is the same thing about someone wanting to learn, but yet they're going through all this opposition and problems and situations and circumstances in their life, and they can't figure out why it's happening to them. And then I say, well, you know, when you read the word of God, it would tell you. So That's why it's so important to stay in the Word of God and to get the instruction that we need. Well, what verse did you stop at?
I stopped at okay, family. Where did I stop at?
You was at verse.
You were on chapter on verse 16.
Okay.
Verse 17. Yeah, in Revelation, you were on verse 17.
Oh, in Revelation, right? Okay, that's true.
Yeah,
that's true. But where was I in Deuteronomy 4?
Fourth chapter.
But all of you who are faithful to the Lord, your God, are still alive today, every one of you. Look, I now teach you these decrees and regulations, just as the Lord my God commanded me, so that you may obey them in the land you are about to enter and occupy.
Okay, come on.
Obey them completely, and you will display your wisdom and intelligence among the surrounding nations. When they hear all these decrees, they will exclaim, how wise and prudent are the people of this great nation.
Yes. Come on.
For what great nation has a God as near to them as the Lord our God is near to us whenever we call on him?
Mm.
And what great nation has decrees and regulations as righteous and fair as this body of instructions that I am giving unto you today?
Yes.
But watch out. Be careful. You know I'm reading from New Living Translation, right? Family. Did y'all know that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And verse 9 says, in King James, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb.
Yes.
When the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. Verse 11. And ye came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire into the midst of heaven, with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. Ye heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude, only heard a voice. And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments, and he wrote them upon 2 tablets of stone. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that ye might do them in the land whither we go over to possess it.
Now, you said some key things in that scripture there, when it says, for one, that we have to teach these laws, statutes, and judgments to our children and children's children, and to teach them to fear the Lord. That's the issue that's going across this land today. A lot of folks, whether it's the adults or whether it's the children, they don't fear the Lord, let alone nor know the Lord. And that fear knowing that certain things that in the moral conduct and his moral code and his standards and his law, statutes, and judgments that we just can't do. And the fear is that if we do it, that he's going to chastise me as a punishment. It's going to happen. And that's the same thing as dealing with the child. We're saying, hey, listen, you can't do this here, but this is going to be your chastisement, your punishment. Whether it's taking away their video game or taking away their cell phone or giving them a type of punishment where they have to stay in the house or whatever it may be. The Almighty works the same way, all right, because we don't fear him. And because the adults don't fear him, the children don't fear him, let alone them fearing someone else. The VIA, the police, or mentor, or elder, or someone else that they may know. That's where the disrespect may come, because they don't fear retribution or punishment or someone to chastise them. One of the issues, the areas that we deal with, is on this here earth now, and the failure of giving them understanding on what this is, and them having no fear of God or the punishment of God.
So, Apostle?
Yes, ma'am.
When you said, and I wanted to hear, the rest of what you were saying, when somebody's wanting to learn that you will appear.
Okay. You are responsible. I am responsible for reaching any person that God lays on your heart in whatever condition they are in. I need to add that. If God instructs you, and the Holy Spirit will, I want you to reach that person. Now, irregardless of their state of mind at the time, when you're getting a divine instruction, then actions and pursuing and trying to reach someone is correct. When you don't have a divine instruction and you notice someone's life is out of order, and you take it upon yourself to do a good thing, but it's not a God-led thing, then you're barking up the wrong tree. Because this word, see, we sometimes, you know, we because it's so dear and clear to us, we forget that this word is for believers only.
Yeah.
If you are not a believer, this word does not apply to you. And you know, this is the thing, and why the world is what it's in. Everyone is not a believer, and as such, this word has no hold on you. You know, I believe in this word. Therefore, this word is governing my life.
Mm-hmm. It's a way of life.
But for the person that does not believe this word is not governing their life. Now, it doesn't mean that they're not subject to consequences of their actions.
Mm-hmm.
They don't follow this way. And because, you know, what's in this book, you know, you have to subscribe to what's in this book. Otherwise, these words mean nothing to you, and this is where I'm coming from. In order for this to mean something to you, you have to embrace it. If one does not embrace this word, and you got people who treat the scriptures like ice cream, you know, they like chocolate, vanilla, strawberry, but they see cherry vanilla, they ain't dealing with that. They only gonna deal with the butter pecan, you know. They like the butter pecan, so they're gonna get double scoops of that. But you know, when the word has got some cherry vanilla, they're gonna leave that out. No, I don't like that. You see, and God's word is all or nothing. And
yeah,
that's
the
problem. It's all or nothing. And we have, just like Pastor George says, there's many people who are New Testament saints.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no such thing as a New Testament saint.
That's right.
There's no such thing, because the Word of God is one word.
Yes.
You get the beginning of the word, then you get the fulfillment of a promise. And the fact that people don't want to go in the Old Testament, the only thing that divides the Old Testament from the New Testament is the dispensation of grace that we're in now. previously in the Old Testament, there was no dispensation of grace. You did something, you were judged according to law. That's what the law was for. That was how we, that was the covenant. I'm going to deal with you according to this. When the New Testament came along, okay, now I'm going to deal with you according to this, which is grace. So we can go out here and act a fool and everything, and we okay, seemingly, even though we're not, it seemed that way. God just given us more time to get it together, you see, and this time as opposed to then. See, then it was like, you know, like Uzzah touched the Ark of the Covenant. You wasn't supposed to. God killed you immediately.
Right then.
Today, you touched the Ark of the Covenant, you know, you get looked at. But you might have a chance to say, I'm sorry, you know, forgive me, I didn't realize what I was doing. And this is the difference, but the word of God is not made null and void. Because, you know, Moses said it versus, you know, Peter said it. It ain't null and void. It's all valid. It is all valid word, and people make big mistakes. But this word is for those who believe, and if you believe, then it should be... your family should be involved, the teaching of your children involved. See, you can't look in the streets and say, how come they not doing it? Well, they not in this thing. That's why they doing what they do. And if they not in it, then their name ain't been it. You know, if you ain't in it, you ain't been it. If you in it, then you been it. So
right.
So Bennett believe in the word. And those that ain't been it don't believe in the word. So we gotta understand first where people at. And just lastly, I would say, you know, the respecting of words of the Abrahamic religions, they might not believe in the Holy Bible. There's maybe, you know, what the Jewish, the Torah, you know, they may not deal with the Torah or the Bible. They may deal with the Quran. You see, and when you're dealing with those books, you're not dealing on the same platform. And that's where a lot of the difference come in. You know, how come, you know, and the thing about it, I believe, and I'm going to say, this is my personal belief, my very personal belief. I believe that we are planted where we belong, because God needs good and godly people everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
So we get planted where we belong to be the influencers and operate on behalf of God in all platforms. God's people, God's family, God's global kingdom. Amen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, I'm going to say this. Woo!
All right. All right.
Pastor George gets that all the time.
Oh, yes. You know, like you said, this way, it's not for everybody.
Mm-mm.
You know, And I read this a lot in the Word, and a lot of folks don't understand that it's only going to be a remnant. You know, we got billions of people here on this earth, and, you know, a lot of them ain't going to be part of what the Word says when the time comes for us to be with the Creator. Because a lot of folks, until that time, that's from the beginning of time when this word first came to the present time now, still not accepting thus saith the Lord. It's nothing new. You know, right now everyone is into their own thing. Like Earth here now have all these demigods and these and gods of, it's not of only of idols, but gods have been made out of cell phones and computers. God has been made out of possessions of power and position.
Very true. Very true.
I mean, and people make gods even out of children. I hate to say it.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen some parents worshiping their children. And I'm like, what is going on here? It's like you're bowing down to your child like he's a god or something. You know, and it was the strangest thing. And just like you were just saying to me, when you said about, you know, some folks only deal with certain parts of Scripture in different books, because you know, I was going through my spa treatment, and I had an individual come up to me, you know, because I come in, you know, I don't say too much. I say hello. I'm very respectful to everyone. And I say hello when I speak to everybody. I go about my business. I sit down. But I'm about my father's business. I'm not about no foolishness. You don't, you're not going to see me laugh like a jackal or a fool. Or you're not, that's not coming from me. But I had a person come and ask me, what are you listening to? I'm like, what am I listening to? Are you on the phone? No. I have a my audio Bible that I'm listening to.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'm listening to the Word of God. Oh! Now, this was a person of a different nationality. And so they said, oh, you're listening to scripture? What scripture are you listening to? So I said, I'm reviewing the book of Deuteronomy. And when I said that, it's like they had a puzzlement on their face. It's like, the book of Deuteronomy, the fifth book. And it's like, I had to say, well, hold it. She said, oh, Deuteronomy. I said, yes, that's in the Old Testament. She said, oh. So then I said, well, I read from Genesis to Revelation. So I guess when they're computed in her brain, she said, oh, you read the Old Testament and the New Testament. Yes. I don't take one part. You got to take the whole part. How are you going to understand what Jesus is talking about if you don't understand what happened in what Moses was talking about or what creation was or the other prophets?
Amen.
Hey, how are you going to know? How are you going to just take the Old Testament, the first five books, and forget about the prophets? And the prophets is what speaks about Christ and him coming and the different things what happened to them. How are you going to know?
Exactly. Exactly.
Or what the end time going to be? How you going to understand Revelation if you don't know what happened before? How you get to that point? How you going to understand the disciples and the Gospels and the different books in the New Testament if you just read the old? I mean, listen, you got to take the whole. You like they say? What verse you stop at, Chapman?
I stopped at 14.
Chapter 4.
Okay,
chapter 4,
14. Continue to 15, please.
Okay. And the Lord commanded me that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that ye might do them in the land whither you go over to possess it.
Yes.
Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for ye shall not matter of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of fire, lest ye corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image.
Wait a minute. We corrupt ourselves and do what?
Lest ye corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female.
Wait a minute. You mean to tell me that we can't make no gods of any human being, male or female?
Nah.
What? Okay, come on.
The likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth. And lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou see the sun, the moon, and the stars, even all the host of heaven.
Wait a minute. You mean to tell me? Read that again. You mean to tell me that read that again?
And lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou see the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven should be driven to worship them and serve them.
Wait a minute. Stop. So you telling me that we were able to look up into the heavens, and whether we looking at the sun, the moon, or the stars, or anything in the heavens, that we are not to make any gods or to worship anything from that.
That's right.
All right. Come on.
But I just wanted to look at Well,
what you want to?
I like what the New Living Translation said. I had put my finger in it and moved my finger, right?
Oh no!
So
you
let,
remember the verse, right?
Yes, yeah, I do.
Well, read it.
Let me go get it. It was Deuteronomy 4:19, but in the New Living Translation.
Okay.
Let me just look at that.
Mm-hmm.
Let me go get it, family. Thanks for your patience. And when you look up into the sky and see the sun, moon, and stars, all the forces of heaven, don't be seduced into worshiping them.
Mm.
The Lord your God gave them to all the peoples of the earth.
Yes.
And then 20 also follows up. Remember that the Lord rescued you, from the iron smelting furnace of Egypt in order to make you his very own people.
Look at that.
His very own people and his special possession, which is what you are today.
Now, you telling me that that's not a special thing? And then this is the thing that gets me, right? The world is portraying, right? It's trying to teach everyone, especially here on this earth, that the children of Israel no longer exist. They're gone. Wait a second.
Who told you that?
That's what the perception is.
Oh.
Now, wait a minute. Did you hear the promise of what God said that he would do?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you got to be special, right?
Yes.
To be a follower of the Most High God,
yeah.
God of Israel,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And you ain't making no idols, and you ain't worshiping no sun. I'm not a sun worshiper. I don't worship the sun. I'm not no moon worshiper either. I don't worship the moon. And I ain't worshiping. I'm not a star worshiper. I don't worship no stars. And I ain't bowing down to no stars or the moon or the sun. Now, they've been put here for all of us for our use and our pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a difference between we having it for our use and our pleasure than we making a god out of it. See, I think that's where a lot of us get caught up in the mix, I would say. Like in this modernized or this modern day stuff, especially when you go into religious practices and you peel back the layers and then you say like, whoa, what's that said? I mean, y'all talk about this of the Most High. You talk about this as God. You talk about that. And then behind the door in the secret, you worshiping the sun. Like, what's going on here? Now, we can read that scripture in Ezekiel 8 when God showed Ezekiel what they were doing in the temples, worshiping Tammuz. They was up there worshiping the sun. He was telling Ezekiel, man, you see what they're doing in the dark. You know what I'm saying?
Well, what the scripture also says, family.
Yeah.
Your word is a lamp to guide my feet.
Yes.
And a light for my path.
Here you go.
Your word.
Yes.
Is a lamp to guide my feet.
Yes.
And a lamp to guide my feet, and a light for my path. All right. What's that?
Yeah.
That's Psalm 119 something.
Yes.
101. 105.
105.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's a good scripture. I want you to come back to that. That's good. But then that's, you know, one of the things too, you know, going through this ministry and teaching and like you said, you know, Holy Spirit revealing things to certain folks when you trying to give them revelation. And the thing is just to believe that there is a God. You know, we are so entangled and we are so enfibered into our DNA and our practices here right now. It's 2023. And a lot of things that we don't know what it is. And a lot of folks, whether it's the sun and you pull down the layers and you find out that, you know, it's sun worship. Then you pull the layers down, you find out, wait a minute, this is moon worship. Then you find out, wait a second, man, this is star worship. But then sometimes when you reveal that and you tell someone that and they've been living their life and they've been doing this sun worship and moon worship and all this stuff, folks get offended. And then they feel as though that you are I guess, in a sense, tearing their God down or what they believe. But it's not so much as that. It's about what is the truth.
But the truth, the truth continues to make us free, true.
Well, when Christ said that,
yep.
He said, you will know the truth and it will make you free. What do you mean by that?
Now, I went to a dance concert not too long, a couple weeks back.
Yes.
And you hear this, Apostle? You still
hear?
Yes,
ma'am, I do.
Oh, okay, good.
Yes.
I went to this dance concert a couple weeks back, and the underlining spirituality was Buddhism.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at that and I said, okay, but what stood out to me, it wasn't just the Buddhism, but the underlining foundational concepts of love, peace,
mm-hmm. right,
anti-war,
right,
anti-defamation of character. Love,
mm-hmm.
peace, and there was one more. Love, peace. Oh, and having a relationship with the divine.
Right.
And I said, well, this sounds like something I've seen already. Well, this sounds like
mm-hmm.
the teachings of Christ, true. But I had
mm-hmm.
to watch. I watched this, and even then, when those concepts that I just mentioned were pushed to the forefront, I too got happy feet like the dancers in this program did. And they were just
uh-huh.
really skilled men and women where they were able to pull a leg behind their back and touch their ankle to their
right.
head. I said, well, God bless them.
Yeah.
God bless
right.
them.
Right.
But the
right.
foundational spirituality was what I just described, family. And
yeah.
I said, so that's when we can talk to people. Yes, people are worshiping the moon. Yes, people are worshiping the sun. But when I find the forefront that comes to, in my mind, where the divine is purposeful, I said, well, there's some similarities across the board. I was asked to pray for the city of Philadelphia 3 years ago. And before I even started, and George and I start our program, our podcast like this with Shalom, Namaste, Assalamu Alaikum, and may the peace of Christ be with you. And as soon
mm-hmm.
as I said that, Apostle, and I told this story to Pastor George, people sat up. And then I went into prayer like Mark,
stood up.
Huh?
They stood up.
They did stand up. They stood up. They stood. I didn't see it, but somebody had to tell me that they stood up. And I went into prayer like in Book of Mark said, Mark 5. And they all understood, everybody understood the prayer that I prayed
mm-hmm.
for the city of Philadelphia, but I spoke their language first and got
right.
their attention.
So
I'm, for me, describing what I just saw in that play and also how I started the prayer, and George has said it before, and I've heard you say about you reaching people where they are.
Right.
And you reach people where they are, so you can reach them.
Right.
And you can tell them what thus says the Lord.
Right, right.
I remember hearing, what's the man's name? Mahatma Gandhi says he was going to convert to Christianity until he met one.
Right, right.
What does that mean?
You know, Chaplain Valerie, one of the problems that we face is religion itself. Religion itself is the problem. As cheeky as that may sound, as heavy and hard as that may sound, The Apostle Paul advocates and to us, but he said of himself, to the Jew I become a Jew that I may win Jews. To the Greek I became a Greek that I may win Greeks. You know, and the bottom line, he said in the end, I become all things to all men. And here's the key word, that I might win some.
Uh-huh.
It's the sum. It's the sum
it's
that
the
God
sum.
Is after. It's the sum. And see, the problem with religion is, this is if we hold the religious mindset of this is what I believe, let me see where you at. No, you ain't, and you kick people out.
No.
And you and see, this is what a lot, I mean, even in Islam, people that are very obstinate, but the Quran itself says, to you be your way and to me mine. God, listen, if God got to make you do this, God ain't interested in you. Do you think God wants people to serve him by force?
Yeah.
People too much, they have this attitude as if they're the God police. You know, you better serve God. No, God gave you free will. There's no you better nothing.
Yeah.
What we better do is choose on our own and choose correctly, because that's what God's saying. What is your choice? Because if you serve him but it's not in your heart, then you're wasting your time.
Yeah.
If you serve him so that other people look well on you, you're wasting your time. If you serve him because that's what your mother and father expects of you, then you're wasting your time. Mm-hmm. God is looking for people to love him with their heart. And see, you know, Chaplain Val, you talked about this a couple weeks ago, the difference between fear motivation, which, you know, fear motivation is as long as I think you're looking, then I'm going to act right.
Uh-huh.
But when you really love God, it don't make a difference who's looking. You're going to be there. You're going to do. So, we you know, all of the religions in the world advocate love, advocate peace, advocate goodwill towards men. But they come in different languages because they will reveal to different peoples over different dispensations of time. That's why we have God and Allah and Hashem and Dur and Dios and God and Christi and Christ, Jesus, because
Buddha.
Different things came to different people at different times, but they came to be a blessing to the world. This thing ain't come through one source. You see, it came over many times. Even when we look at how, you know, we looking at the lineage of Christ. Rahab was a harlot in the beginning. Rahab,
I love Rahab.
Converted her life, got right, but the Bible still just, she Rahab the harlot. It's like her mistake never got wiped away. You know, but it's because, and I'm not saying because I know, but this is what I believe, because this is my interpretation. I believe that the Word of God did that so that we would understand that God is interested in all people.
All of us.
In other words, the lineage of Christ is not just a bunch of perfect folks who serve God perfectly.
Rahab is in it.
Scoundrels.
Yep.
You got some murderers, you got some rapists, you got some harlots, you got some of everything in there that come to Christ. So that you know that it's the representation of humanity. And this is what it's about, you know? Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You know, well, what you said was truth too, because you can't figure out who God uses. Because even when you look back, who was Jacob? He was a swindler.
Right.
That's you know, he was a
that's
shifty
it.
Dude.
He was a crook.
That's why he
yes,
had to
he
change
was.
His name, man.
Change his name. He had to get away.
Look at King David. He was a king and a righteous leader of the men, and righteous man at the time. But he was a murderer.
Yeah. Yeah.
And an adulterer.
Okay.
Okay.
That's right. That's it.
And he was king.
Yes, he was.
And he... he still got used.
And I think didn't he have like 5 or 6 wives already?
Yeah.
Well,
I guess that wasn't enough, huh?
It wasn't enough.
It was greedy.
Well, how many Solomon had?
I guess that wasn't enough.
Solomon had too many to count.
How many Solomon had?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
But that got him in trouble, though.
It got him in grave trouble.
Yeah, it did. It did get him in trouble.
And I do believe this, and I've written this on one of my thesis, that God has interpreted God's self so that people can reach God.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it is.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm.
Well,
mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm just saying that word is interesting, that's all.
Oh, okay. Because even in what she just said, of reaching people, right?
Reaching the folks.
Now, just think this, and I'm speaking about the optics here. I'm reaching people, right? And people saying, well, wait a minute. Man, how can you be a pastor? You blind. And you got one leg. And you come in here, you come in here to get treatment for an ailment. I'm like, and so? And what?
Uh-huh.
You got folks
right
here that got their sight, they got the activation of all their limbs, they don't have no ailments,
uh-huh,
no sickness or anything, and sitting down ain't doing
right
nothing.
Right.
Not nothing.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
So, if God can use me, and I'm a walking miracle, that will give
mm-hmm
encouragement to people that think that they can't do or have a relationship with him at all because they're going through certain
right
things.
Right.
You know? Because they're dealing with ailments or they're dealing with certain situations in their life. No. God can use whoever he wants to use. He's the God of the deaf, blind, lame, and all God's children.
Mm-hmm.
If he puts his
mm-hmm
word in you and he speaks,
mm-hmm,
then you're going to be used. I don't care who you are. If he can do it to a donkey, he's doggone sure he can do it to a human being.
Right.
You know, to make the donkey
amen
talk. So, I ain't saying
mm-hmm
I'm a donkey.
I say no jackass, right?
Jackass.
I'm going to just say it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to just say it.
It's in the scripture.
It is.
It's some other words that have surprised people in the scripture, too. I ain't going to say them, but it's some other words that's heavy in the scripture. That's right. Yes,
another,
it is. Right in the book.
Right, okay. Right in the book.
Yeah.
As a side,
yeah, right in the book.
A friend of mine, I said, he was talking about how, just like Pastor George saying, how God can use anyone. And he was talking about
mm-hmm
how God used him. I said, that's right. God uses a jackass to talk to. He said, wait a minute. Rev, you talking about me? I said, no.
Oh, boy.
There you go. There you go.
Mm-mm.
Amen.
Great.
Well, I just wanted to interject something that I heard both you men saying, and this came out of Ephesians 2, starting at verse 8. For by grace are we saved through faith, and that
mm-hmm
not of yourselves, it is the gift
right
of God.
9 mm-hmm
says, not of works, lest any man
mm-hmm
should boast. And here it
mm-hmm
is. 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ
right
Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk
mm-hmm
in.
There you go.
All
there
right
it is. There it is. Hallelujah.
That's now that's a very powerful word. And I would be remiss if I didn't say that's the answer, Pastor George. That's the answer.
Yes.
That's the answer, you know, the foreordaining. That's the answer, and this is why we see some people get it and some don't.
Mm-hmm.
Some doing and some don't, because this thing is not about even me making always a decision. This is about that which was already written before I came here.
That's right.
And that's the hard part, because a lot of people, they want to feel like they're in charge, and they get upset. They refuse to believe that they're not in charge. And all the success models teach you, if you decide, if you decide, if you decide. But you can't decide if it was ever never ordained for you to decide. And see, this thing is heavy. Because without understanding preordination and foreordination, you can't really call this thing. And it takes time to get to understand how that works. It's like is a person a doctor because they go to school, or they're a doctor because they decided to be a doctor?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if it was never ordained for them to be a doctor, it would have never even came into their mind to talk about being a doctor. So school wouldn't even be part of it. So it's like, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? The egg came first, not the chicken, the egg.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
But how do you get an egg without a chicken? Because there's a divine source.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Mm-hmm. I have to say that.
Yeah, that was good. That was good. You know, we are all on these divine missions, and like they were already preordained before we were even born.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before we came out the womb of our mother, God already knew what he wanted us to do before we were even thought of.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the key part of it is, are we going to walk through what he already preordained
mm-hmm.
in our life?
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to allow the distractions of the earth, or people, or ourselves
mm-hmm.
to stop it?
Because
mm-hmm. a lot of times mm-hmm. we're getting our own way from what God
right.
asked us to do.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
then we want to blame everybody else, or the devil.
Mm-hmm.
No, the devil didn't make you do that.
I've gotten you did that.
I've gotten in my own way,
yes. I have gotten in my own way. I understand that. Yep, that's true.
You know, we got to look through that glass. Well, wait a second. I'm looking at that glass. What reflection do you see? Yourself. And a lot of times, man, that's when we have to search within the Almighty and within our own spirit, too. Because sometimes we get in a lackadaisical mood. Sometimes we allow our human emotions to affect us. Sometimes we, like, if we're going through a situation, whether it's psychologically or even physically, say, hey, you know what? I'm tired. Or you know what? We just right there, I don't want to do it here. And we stop ourselves in some things.
Mm-hmm.
When, you know, we allow things to happen, especially when it comes to a blessing or something that we need or we asking God for. And God was like, wait a second, man, you keep asking me, or she keeps asking for this stuff, and you want me to do this here and that. I already put stuff before you, but you ain't walk through it.
Well,
why you ain't go and take it? Possess it.
Go to take it.
Uh-huh.
Take it on it and then do. Look, it's always there. I gave it to you.
I gave you the opening.
Okay. Why are you letting outside or let a person stop you or
mm-hmm.
let an outside this and that? Man, get out of here with
yep,
that.
Yeah, there you go.
You know?
Uh-huh.
And you get, stop getting in your own way and walk through
right.
it. What God has for
yeah,
you,
yeah.
no matter
yeah.
what it is,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's the question of the day.
Mm-hmm.
When we have to do that, and we all are guilty of that, of some sort, and that's why it's so crucial of meditating and standing in line and standing in His Word.
Yep.
Because what it says, encourage yourself. A lot of folks don't understand what that means. How to encourage yourself. Because we all go through situations, distractions, depression, you know, different things that happen. And we have to encourage ourselves to keep moving, to keep going. Even though it may look like, oh man, this thing's never going to come to fruition. Or how long I got to wait? You know, sometimes we have to get up and we have to initiate ourselves to go forward. But then there's sometimes, too, when we have to wait on God and see his salvation.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to know when to wait, when to go forward. And that's why I'm meditating in the Word. Where did you stop at, Chapman? And that was at verse 19 and 21.
So when you said that, yeah. I thought about, you know, me and hermeneutics.
Okay.
Know when to fold them, know when to hold them.
Whoa, wait. That was Kenny Rogers song.
Know when,
yeah.
What? How does it sound? But how does it say? Know when to fold them, know when to hold them, know when to run, or something like that. It's that Kenny Rogers song.
You gotta know when to hold them. You gotta know when to fold them. You gotta know when to walk away. You gotta know when to run.
That's it.
Never count money while you're sitting at the table.
That's
there'll
it.
There'll be time enough for counting. When the
dealing's done.
Now, son, I made a living about reading people's faces. And if you don't mind me saying, I think you're out of aces. All right.
Oh, there it is. There it is. Thank you.
Okay.
I knew someone would remember that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Is that a soundtrack song from a movie?
I like country.
Oh, okay.
Wasn't that from The Gambler? That movie called
yeah,
The Gambler?
Yeah, that's The Gambler. Yeah, The Gambler. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny Rogers, may he rest in peace. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah,
yeah,
all right.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
All right. Yeah, that was a good one.
Mm-hmm.
So what verse you at now?
Okay. I just finished 19.
Go ahead.
19 and 20. 20 says, but the Lord has taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace,
yes,
even out of Egypt,
mm-hmm,
to be unto him a people of inheritance.
Look at that.
As ye are this day.
Yes.
Furthermore, the Lord was angry with me for your sakes.
Yes.
And
this
swear
Moses
that
talking.
Mm-hmm,
go
Moses
ahead.
Talking.
Go ahead.
And swear that I should not go over Jordan, and that I should not go unto that good land which the Lord thy God give thee for an inheritance.
Yes.
But I must die in this land.
Mm-hmm.
I must not go into Jordan, but ye shall go over and possess that good land.
Yeah.
Take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God.
Yes.
Which he made with you, and make you a graven image or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God has forbidden thee.
Yes.
Verse 24. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a...
Mm-hmm.
25. And when thou beget children, children's children, and ye shall have remained long in the land and shall corrupt yourselves and make a graven image or the likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of the Lord thy God to provoke him to anger.
See that? See what the graven images and all that stuff does, and the idols, how it provokes the Most High God to anger?
Mm-hmm.
And we wonder why we go through the things that we go through? Angry.
Mm-hmm.
Read.
I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that ye shall soon utterly perish from off the land whereunto ye go over Jordan to possess it. Ye shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations.
Wait a second. So you mean to tell me, because of these idols, because of these pagans, it provoked our to God to anger, and then he scattered us on the four corners of the earth?
That's what the scriptures say.
Wow, look at that. Because of that. And just imagine where we at right now with the pagans and the idol stuff. He's still angry. And he didn't scatter us to these different places, but continue read.
Well, in New Living Translation, it says, you will live there only a short time
then you will be utterly destroyed, for the Lord will scatter you among the nations where only a few of you will survive.
Look at that.
That's what the New Living Translation says for 27.
And we're dwindling down now by numbers, by mass numbers now. Why? What is these unprovoked deaths? Why are we being like we are phased out? He said it in his word. Idols, pagan stuff. He said, you do that stuff, you serve other gods, you serve making idols and stuff.
Like money.
You're going to be destroyed.
Like money.
No matter where you go, you're going to be few in number. Read.
And there shall serve, and there they, no, excuse me, and there ye shall serve gods, the works of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see, nor hear, nor eat, nor smell. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thine heart and all thy soul. When thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days,
mm-hmm.
if thou turn to the Lord thy God,
mm.
and it shall be, and shall be obedient unto his voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them.
Now, this is a promise.
Now, that was 31. I 31.
Now, this is a promise, a covenant that God made. Even though that we were cursed and spread on the four corners of the earth, they look, if you turn and seek me, so I don't care where you at. I don't care what you've been into. I don't care what you've done. And this is still valid right now. If you return back to me, I will put you back on top. I will make you the head and not the tail. I will restore you. He said, even though you come to a place where first you're going to be scattered on the four corners and you're going to be put under people and you're going to be worshiping their gods, all right, their idols. And you're going to be making even gods or idols made from stone and wood. Now, that's a topic that we can go to, not today. What are the gods of the stone? And what are gods of the wood? We're not going to get into that, but that's a conversation for another day. But think about that. And you can make and determine to your own mind and to your own self. What in your life, or what could it be, when God says not to make idols of anything, and it says not to be part of the pagans and the heathen, separate from them and what they do, and how we make things in our life that, and that's another thing where we have to look within ourselves. When
that's
we have
good.
To look through that glass.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing with, you know, how God, he does things. In this world here, in this America, is so tainted by so many things that separate us from the love of God. And it's in everything.
So the promises are also here in 30 and 31.
Go ahead.
In New Living Translations, in the distant future, when you are suffering all these things, you will finally return to the Lord your God and listen to what he tells you.
Listen to him.
For the Lord your God is a merciful God.
Yes.
He will not abandon you or destroy you or forget the solemn covenant he made with you, your ancestors. And that's the hallelujah right there.
The hallelujah praise right now. And even though the situations and the circumstances that we're dealing with, and even choices that we've made in our lives, that God still has his arms open and says, come back to me.
Mm-hmm.
put away all of these things. It's not of me.
And you have an opportunity to return.
Return back to me. Worship me.
The divine source.
Yes.
The divine source.
Yes.
Well, men, today, any last and final comments?
Well, that's it for me for that. Apostle, you have anything you want to add on that before we go to closing prayer?
No, sir. I'm going to let everything rest right there. We've shared a lot of word today.
Yes.
And good to just meditate on the word. If we start something else, we go another hour.
Another two hours.
There's a lot that can be said about what was already said, but we you know, praise the Lord. I'm going to let it rest.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
Let it rest.
We got it. And the people who are listening online and overseas, they're getting it too because they keep returning.
Yes.
They keep returning. Mm-hmm. That's a praise right there. We have folks all over the place. And amen to that.
So are you going to do closing prayer or have the apostle, will you close us out in prayer today, sir?
Yes, sir. Bless the precious and almighty God. We thank you for this another day. We thank you for our life, health, and strength. Thank you for everyone listening under the sound of my voice. Thank you for every family represented in them. We ask that you would add a blessing to each of our lives, that you would keep us, that you would protect us and guide us, give us wisdom, understanding, and knowledge that is able to help us to move forward in you, to recognize the things that we ought to be doing and the things that we ought not to do, that we don't allow good things that can be done to rob the God things that must be done. And we just look to you every day for our guidance. We look to you every day for our provision. We ask that you will remember the condition of the world, remember the lost, remember those who are suffering, remember those who are without. And we give you the honor, glory, and praise always for your mercy, for your goodness, and your kindness, and your grace. Thank you, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. See y'all later.
Okay, until next time.
Okay. All
peace.
Right.
Peace, grace,
peace and blessings.
In a minute.
Blessings.